Gurunga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Vikara. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Itinamne Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharana. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasita De Satarana. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 70, Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. We're doing text 27 and 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Sato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this, if you know this, I'm sure you do know this, sorry, excuse me. We can say this together. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So text 27, word for word. Loke, in this world, Bhavan, you, Jagat, of the universe, Ina, the predominator, Kalaya, with your expansion Baladev, or with your time potency. Avatirnaha, having descended, Sat, the saintly, Rakshayana, to protect, Kala, the wicked, Nigrahanaya, to subdue, Cha, and, Anya, other, Kaschit, someone, Tvadiyam, your, Atityati, transgress, Nidesham, the law, Isha, O Lord, Kimva, or else, Jana, a person, Sva, by himself, Kritam, created, Richtati, obtains, Tat, that, Na, Navidmaha, we do not understand. So in this verse, text 27, the kings, the 20,000 kings that have been imprisoned by Jarasandha are speaking through the messenger who's come to the assembly house, which we heard so much about yesterday, the assembly house of Krishna and Dwarka. And here's they're speaking. They're speaking their confusion. We cannot chant this responsibly. And okay, and then we'll chant the next verse too. Loke Bhavan, Loke Bhavan Jagat Ina Kalaya Vatirna. Loke Bhavan Jagat Ina Kalaya Vatirna. Sad Rakshanaya Kala Nigrana. Nigrahanaya chanya. Sad Rakshanaya Kala Nigrahanaya chanya. Taschit Vadiyam Atiyati Nidesham Isha. Kaschit Tvadiyam Atiyati Yati Nidesham Isha. Kim Vajanaspa Kritam Rich Chatitan Navidma. Kim va janasva kritim rach rich chati tanna vidmaha. Loke bhavan jagat ina kalayan vatirna. Sad rakshanaya kala nigrahanaya chanya. Kaschit tvadiyam atiyatya nidesham isha. Kim va janasva kritam rich chati tan nidvidma. Please chant. Loke bhavan jagadina kalayan vitirna. Sarakshanaya kalam. Kim va janasva kritim richati tanna vidma. Loke bhavan jagadina kalaya vatirna. Sadrakshanaya kalanidrahanaya janya. Kaschitvadiya matiyata nidesha nisha. Atiyata nidesha misha. Kim vajanasva kritam richati tanna vidma. Ladies. Loke bhavanja nina kalaya matirna. Kala nigrahanaya chanya. Kaschit tvadiyam atiyati nidesha isha. Kim va janasva kritam richati tanna vidma. Loke bhavan janadina kalaya vatirna. Sadrakshanaya kalanigrahanaya chanya. Tinadesham isha. Kim vajanasva kritam irchati tanna vidma. Gopal, will you chant, please? Thanks. Loke bhavan jagadina kalaya vatirna. Sadrakshanaya kalanidrahanaya chanya. Kaschit vadiyam atiyatignyesham isha. Kim Bhajanas Pakritan Richatitana Vidma. Shai, thank you. Now can you chant it? Now can you chant it again without looking at the board? Did you already memorize it? Oh, soon you'll be like that though. Hare Krishna. So the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. You are the, and then just a reminder, this is the messenger speaking on behalf of the imprisoned kings. You are the predominating lord of the universe and have descended into this world with your personal power to protect the saintly and suppress the wicked. We cannot understand, O Lord, how anyone can transgress your law and still continue to enjoy the fruits of his work. So you can see here in this verse, the two sentences, the first sentence, they're speaking very from the scriptures. You know, we, paripranaya sadunam, you know, that Krishna descending to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. Then the second half, they're expressing, what, but how is it happening that we who are pious kings are being suppressed by Jarasandha? So, it's a confusion that we often face. We know the philosophy, but the application of it always takes a little, the higher step. I'll just say it one more time. You are the predominating lord of the universe and have descended into this world with your personal power to protect the saintly and suppress the wicked. We cannot understand, O Lord, how anyone can transgress your law and still continue to enjoy the fruits of his work. Purport. Sridhar Swami explains that the kings were bewildered by the suffering that had come upon them. They state here that since the Lord has descended in this world to protect the pious and punish the wicked, how is it that Jarasandha, who brazenly transgressed the order of the Lord, continued to perform his wicked activities, whereas the kings were put into a miserable condition? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur similarly states that the kings could not understand how Jarasandha, who harassed the saintly devotees and nourished the envious, could continue to prosper, whereas the kings were being tormented by the wicked Jarasandha. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada quotes the kings as follows in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, quote, "My dear Lord, you are the proprietor of all the worlds, and you have incarnated yourself along with your plenary expansion, Lord Balaram. It is said that your appearance in this incarnation is for the purpose of protecting the faithful and destroying the miscreants. Under the circumstances, how is it possible that miscreants like Jarasandha can put us into such deplorable conditions of life against your authority? We are puzzled at this situation and cannot understand how it is possible." And then they have a second thought. And here's their second thought. "It may be that Jarasandha has been deputed to give us trouble because of our past misdeeds. But we have heard from revealed scriptures that anyone who surrenders unto your lotus feet immediately becomes immune from the reaction of sinful life. We therefore wholeheartedly offer ourselves unto your shelter, and we hope that your lordship will now give us full protection." And we're also supposed to chant the next verse, so we can chant that together, and then we'll go back and talk about this. The same tune. Swanayitam nripasukam paratantramisha shasvadvayena mrikatena duram vahama hitva tad atmani sukam tad anihalabdam klisha maye titiknas tavamaya yeha. Translation, O Lord, with this corpse-like body, always full of fear, we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings, which is just like a dream. We have thus rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering selfless service to you. Being so very wretched, we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy. Report. After expressing their doubts in the previous verse, the kings herein admit that actually they are suffering because of their own foolishness. having given up the eternal happiness of the soul in exchange for the temporary, conditional happiness of a so-called kingly position. Most people make a similar mistake, desiring wealth, power, prestige, aristocratic family, and so on, in exchange for their own soul. The kings admit that they have fallen under the spell of the Lord's illusory energy and have mistaken the tremendous anxiety of political leadership as happiness. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I humbly take shelter of his lotus feet and beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here the kings are expressing what most of us are feeling sometimes. At different times we feel these different emotions and these different bewilderments when we're going through life. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us so much instruction as to how to develop the proper attitude and how to develop the proper vision to see what happens when calamity comes upon us. Sometimes our go-to mode is lamentation. Oh, why is this happening to me? I perhaps think I don't deserve it. I'm a nice person. So many things. We think that's our kind of our automatic go-to mode. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam, the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions are actually awakening real vision, our real knowledge, of what a vision that we need to have in order to actually be in line with the spiritual energy as opposed to the material energy. If you remember way back in the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto, 17th chapter, it's punishment and reward of Kali. When Maharaj Parikit's going about touring his kingdom, just like Sesha Prabhu yesterday very nicely delineated kind of elaborately on some of the duties of the kings and their responsibilities. So Maharaj Parikit, in that manner, as his responsibility of the king, he was going about his kingdom to make sure that everybody was performing their duties properly, and he comes upon Kali, and who's beating the bull, and the cow and the bull are crying. And so he approaches them, and he wants to know who has done this to the bull. Who has done this to you? So he approaches the bull and says that, tell me who's the perpetrator of this sinful act. Nobody in my kingdom has suffered before, you know, like this. So it's a stain on the good name of my dynasty. So he asks for who did it, and you have something to say, Gopal? Do you know who did it? Oh, thank you. Very good. It's Yamaraj and Bhumi in the form of the cow and the bull. Thanks for that. So Maharaj Parikit is asking the bull, who's done this to you? And the bull, he's not willing to point the finger. He's not willing to point the finger. Maharaj Parikit says, dishonest miscreants flourish because of cowardly and impotent heads of state. So I don't want that to happen in my kingdom. But the bull, that the supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to its citizens and to chastise those who stray from the correct path of the scriptures in ordinary times when there's no emergency. But the bull, he takes the attitude, because he is the form of religion personified, he takes the attitude that he says, it's very difficult to ascertain the cause of who's done this to us, because I'm bewildered by so many different philosophies. You know, because the different philosophers say karma is the cause. Some philosophers say nature is the cause. Some philosophers say this is the cause, that's the cause, whatever. But and Maharaj Parikit acknowledges that, oh, this personality is not an ordinary personality. Because the ordinary person, when they're suffering, the ordinary person looks to an external cause. That person, that circumstance, this is why I'm suffering, that's why. You did this to me, therefore I'm suffering. But Srimad Bhagavatam is always directing us to look inward. Look inward and take responsibility for our own actions. So here in these two verses, the kings are expressing kind of like that transition. They're expressing their understanding that Krishna, you've come to descend, you've descended to this world, as we know from fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadunam, Vinashaya Chadushritam, Dharma Samstapanataya. What's the last part, Gopal? Dharma Samstapanataya, Sambhavami, Yuge. Thanks. Sambhavami, Yuge. That I come, millennium after millennium, I come in a form, in some form, to annihilate the miscreants and protect my devotees. So the kings are expressing that in the beginning part. So then they're saying, but this situation that Jarasandha has imprisoned us, 20,000 kings are imprisoned, and they're imprisoned in a dungeon. They're imprisoned in a cold, dark, damp dungeon, being deprived of food and exercise and light and proper clothing and proper care. They're being imprisoned and they're suffering so much. And they're wondering, how can this happen in the very presence of the Supreme Lord and his brother Balaram? The Supreme Lord and his brother, Lord Baladev, are there in the form of the time factor. Why can't they, how is it that Jarasandha can be flourishing? So even in this modern day and age, people often write books on that bewilderment. Like, you know, the one that comes, that famous book comes to mind, How Can Bad Things Happen to Good People? That person who has a very fortunate name to be named Hare Krishna wrote that book. So why can you, where's that? I mean, that's Krishna's Agyata Sukriti, you know? I mean, that's Krishna giving him that causeless mercy to be named Hare Krishna. Anyway, so but he's bewildered, even though he's a holy person in the Jewish faith, a rabbi, he's bewildered. How can bad things happen to good people? And it's often a bewilderment to many, as it's explained in the purport, it's a bewilderment to many people because they're not understanding the effects of the of karma. Karma is a mysterious but universal system where the conditioned soul gets the reaction, just, fair, and in proportion to the activities, he's getting the reaction of his activities. It's proportionate. So karma acts like a mirror. It acts like a mirror. So if you're looking in the mirror and you move your hand this much, the mirror, the hand in the mirror is going this much. It's not going this much. It's going that. So karma acts like a mirror. What we've done, we get those different reactions. Padma Purana, it's quoted in, Prabhupada quotes it in verse form, in Nectar of Devotion in the first chapter. My favorite chapter of Nectar Devotion, the characteristics of pure devotional service. The first subheading is, what's the first subheading, Janmasthami? Kleshagni, yeah, thank you. Brings relief from all material distress. And in that subheading, Prabhupada explains from the verse in the Padma Purana how the reaction manifests in different stages. So that verse from Padma Purana is, aparabdha palan papam kutam bijam palon mukam kramenaiva praliyeta vishnu bhakti rata mahan. And here's the translation. There are different stages of dormant reactions to sinful activities to be observed in sinful life. Sinful reactions may be just waiting to take effect. They're just right there. They're just right there. That's phalan mukha. Reaction may be still dormant, still more removed. A reaction might be there. That's kuta. Or reaction may be in a seed-like state, bija. In any case, all types of sinful reactions are vanquished. after the one after the other, if a person engages in service to the Lord, in devotional service to Lord Vishnu, those reactions to those sinful activities. So in that Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada's explaining that the root cause of sinful activities is what? Don't say anything. What's the root cause of sinful activity? Very good. But where does that desire come from? Even one step further behind, one step back. Sri Devi. Ignorance, avidya. The root cause is avidya. And because of ignorance, then one develops desire. Gopal's on top of it today. Jai. Thank you, Mom, for teaching him so nicely. Okay, so so from avidya, ignorance, when the living entity makes that faithful, has that, you know, desire to somehow or other, that envy arises in the heart, and the living entity wants to try to enjoy like Krishna. Why is all the service given to Krishna? Maybe I could do that. Maybe I should be for me. So in that ignorance, and what's the ignorance there? The ignorance is that things, that the living entity thinks that he can be happy separate from the Lord. Forgetful. Thank you. I've got a good coach today. He's forgetful. He's, what was that, Radhani Kapoor? Ignoring. Ignorance. He's ignoring that his constitutional position, like the hand, here's a good example, like the hand, it's only can work properly when it's properly connected to the body. When it thinks that it wants to enjoy separately and it's cut off and it's on the floor and thinking that I'm going to be happy like that, you really have to catch it you have to catch it before it cuts itself off and jumps onto the floor, because it's not going to be happy, and neither are you going to be happy with your hand on the floor like that. It's only happy when it's connected properly and works properly. And that's our position. That's our constitutional position. That's how we can be happy. Somehow or other, we've got it in our minds, or at least I have, you know, that I can be happy separate from Krishna. And because of that, then I act in ignorance, then so many stages of that happen. And when one commits a sinful activity, because of desire, one's pushed eventually to perform the activity. When one performs the activity, there's two reactions that take place. One is subtle and one is gross. Perhaps the gross one, like the example given in Nectar Devotion, is the man who robs the bank. So immediately when he robs the bank, perhaps he's not caught right away. You know, perhaps there's some space of time, or even in this life he's not caught. But anyway, he's not caught right away. But he gets two reactions anyway. He gets the anxiety and the fear that he's going to be caught. That happens. But he also, that subtle effect is also placed in the heart, which is really devastating to the conditioned soul, is the desire to do it again. We get the desire to do it again. That's why sinful activities are so entangling. They're entangling for the very gross punishment that's offered. But the subtle punishment is the desire to do it again, so therefore we're further entangled in material existence, life after life. So the kings, but okay, so then what's the factor that why people can't understand why they're suffering? It's the time factor. Because it doesn't, sometimes Krishna gives the reaction immediately, but there's a time factor, there's space. Like the man who robbed the bank, let's take that example. He robbed the bank and he, quote unquote, got away with it. So then what is he thinking? He's thinking, oh, let me do it again. What can I do? A better one, a bigger one, a this or that. Let me do it again. And he gets more and more entangled in sinful activities. What to speak of all the little things that we do when we're transgressing the laws of nature? We're getting the desire. That's why this process of sadhana, you know, restraining ourselves from the four sinful activities and chanting Hare Krishna and reading the Bhagavatam, it's such a structure, basic, it's a basic structure for our health, our spiritual health. Sometimes being the rascal that I am, sometimes the structure I think, oh, I don't want, but actually it's actually for my own good. It's actually for more for my own good. It's actually for bringing about my proper health, my proper spiritual health. That's why it's so important to regularly, daily, constantly keep at it. Keep at it constantly. Follow these principles and follow the process of sadhana. And that way, a taste will gradually develop. Do you know the verse, Gopal, or anybody, that explains how that taste is, the taste isn't there in the beginning, but gradually, the taste will come. Sorry, I'm giving them a hint. The tongue. Oh, okay, that's cool. I wasn't thinking of that verse, but thank you. I was thinking of the verse from Nectar of Instruction. Were you thinking of that one? Do you know that one? Anyone? The tongue is covered by the jaundice of avidya, but by carefully chanting the holy name every day, that sweet taste will develop, you know? So, So the kings, back to the kings. So they're expressing that that Krishna is coming to protect the pious and annihilate the miscreants, but the time factor has happened to them, and they're forgetting temporarily, because they're starting to remember, oh, perhaps this is happening because of my own past deeds. They're beginning to take responsibility. This is happening because of my own past deeds. And I'm actually, it was earlier, Lord Brahma gave us that very wonderful verse that Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion. He says, this should be the guide for all devotees. Katenu kampam susamikshamanam. This should be the guide. When good things happen, a devotee should think, oh, Krishna is so kind. Even though I don't deserve this, he's giving me this circumstance. He's very kind. Let me offer my respects and gratitude to the Lord. And when difficulties happen in the devotee's life, they're also thinking, because they're understanding, they're also thinking that I actually deserve worse. Not in a sadistic way. They're not thinking that in a sadistic way, but actually through knowledge. Because by understanding, I've been in this material world for not just this one life of 60-odd years, or whatever, but millions of lifetimes accumulating pious and sinful activities in such a way that Krishna is just giving me, this is what Lord Brahma says, just giving me a token of my past sinful activities. Let me offer my respects and gratitude to him as he's trying to rectify me on the path of devotional service. Prabhupada says this should be our guide. Because as we all are well aware and experiencing in our life every day, you know, there's the ups and downs of life all the time. It's never a steady course. So these kings, although they were elevated to an exalted position in birth as kings and rulers of great countries, still, because Jarasandha, particularly at that time, had become more powerful than 10,000 elephants. Can you imagine how powerful that is? 10,000 elephants. That's, you know, you could fight him? No way, you didn't say that. You didn't say that. Okay, thanks. Sorry. So Jarasandha had become more powerful than 10,000 elephants, and he subdued those kings because he wanted to make that tamasic offering to Lord Shiva of 20, the heads. He wanted to offer 20,000 heads to Lord Shiva. I'm glad I wasn't around at that time. Well, it says there were 20,000. In the previous verse, it said that there were 20,000 that they were imprisoned. So he's just waiting for probably the right tiki to offer. I mean, sorry, that's my speculation, but, you know, there's always auspicious times even for your tamasic rituals, too. So, but they're so fortunate that Krishna's right there, and they're able to, you know, offer their heartfelt prayers to the Lord through the messenger. And they're seeing that, and they're starting to understand that, oh, due to my past activities, I was the one who accepted the pleasure of being a king as more important than the pleasure of serving the Lord. And therefore, that illusion, I like that last sentence in the text number 28 in the purport. The kings admit that they have fallen under the spell of the Lord's illusory energy and have mistaken the tremendous anxiety of political leadership for happiness. So we perhaps in our life, it's not our karmic due just yet to have that pleasure, kingly pleasure, but perhaps whatever pleasure we're having in our life, if we mistake it as the all in all, instead of deriving our pleasure from serving the Lord, then that's how we have to always direct our consciousness. So Bhagavatam gives us information as to, there was one other. Bhagavatam gives us information in the story of Ajamil, how Ajamil chanted the name of Lord Narayan in an inoffensive manner by calling the name of his son. But just by that potent name of chanting the name of Narayan, when the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas are having their discussion, the Vishnu Dutas are explaining that this chanting of the holy name of the Lord is so potent that this is the means to uproot from the heart the that seed of sinful desire becomes uprooted by the chanting of the holy name. And that's the difference that's explained in these processes, like Bhagavad Gita explains Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and explains about Bhakti Yoga. So in the process of Karma Kanda, the devotee, the person, is following a religious life, following prescribed rules and regulations, but solely for the purpose to try to enjoy a better position in the material world. So they're performing sacrifice and doing this and giving gifts and charity with the intention of elevating their positions for further enjoyment. And therefore, they're trapped in the cycle of birth and death because that seed of desire to do it again, that's part of it, is in their heart. And so next life, they're doing it again. And every single time, there's that danger of becoming degraded. It's not that one always becomes elevated through the process of Karmakanda, as King Riga exemplifies. There's a very good chance of becoming degraded. But in devotional service, the actual happiness that a devotee derives from performing devotional service is totally different. It's totally different because that seed of material desire is not placed in the heart. Although there's happiness in things that are derived from the Lord by serving Him, that seed of that sinful, or even the pious seed, is not there. It's a transcendental position. That's explained also in fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj meets the four Kumaras, and explains how the impetus for sinful desire and ignorance is uprooted, and that's, I don't know that verse yet, pada palava plava plava. And it's 4:22:39. The translation is, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus, the lotus feet of the Lord, can very easily overcome that hard-knotted desire for fruitive activity. Because it is very difficult, the non-devotees, jnanis, and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, the four Kumaras advise Maharaj Prithu, therefore you're advised to engage in devotional service to the Lord with full attention, with full heart, because that uproots the desire. And I kind of got distracted from my own train of thought when I was explaining about the karma conduct procedure. So someone might try to perform different pious activities to counteract the results of impious activities or problems that are happening in their life. The Prabhupada explains very clearly in sixth canto, and also again in Nectar of Instruction, that an impious activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity, because the seed, the desire seed, is there within the heart. And unless that seed is uprooted and Prabhupada uses the word fried, you know, unless it's fried or made unproductive, that seed will sprout up again. So someone might be trying to counteract some difficulty in their life through pious activities, but that doesn't get to the seed, the root, the desire to enjoy in the material world. Whereas, on the other hand, on the other side, the process of bhakti yoga, it's the only process that can uproot that seed, the desire, the fruit, and so many things, all the different stages of sinful reaction. Hare Krishna. Any comments or additions or questions or corrections? Janmasthami Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, very nice. There's one reference that I found to be like so powerful in not becoming bewildered when suffering comes our way. I think I've brought it up with you in the past, maybe in side discussions, but it's an easy one to remember. It's from the passage.
1.9.19. Thank you.
Sorry. This is passing of Bhishma Dev.
Thank you.
You know, he's on this bed of arrows. He's consoling and actually helping Yudhisthira Maharaj deal with his despondency at the death of so many people, you know, so that he could be re-enthroned. And so then in the purport, Prabhupada describes these different relationships that Krishna has with his devotees. He starts with the relationship, this loving relationship with Yashoda Mayi, and the, he mentions the Damodar Leela, and then Arjuna and their deep loving friendship, and he becomes Arjuna's chariot driver. Then he mentions Sunak Kumar and Sukadeva Goswami, and then he says these are different bhavs, okay, these relationships. And then he says that the tribulations that a devotee undergoes are another transcendental bhav with the Lord. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says that Krishna puts a devotee in difficulty to deepen his devotion. And so it's actually, rather than seeing it in a negative way, oh God, oh woe is me, it is horrible, one can see that actually it's Krishna that is coming and he's helping me become a better devotee, to kind of dissipate this enjoying spirit. And I tell you, you know, since I discovered that verse, it makes all the difference in the world in, you know, not dealing with it and, you know, falling into despondency. And, you know, it's like there's one other quick reference. This is Lord Buddha. Sridhar Swami, our ISKCON Sridhar Swami, always used to quote it. Lord Buddha said that distress is compulsory, suffering is optional. So in other words, we can choose our response. And this tattva that you presented today is actually how that's done.
Thank you for that comment. That reminded me of, I read one comment, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was, you know how he gives his little dialogues back and forth. So he was presenting the counter argument. Well, why does the devotee suffer? You know, why should there be suffering at all? And he says, my dear devotee, you're not understanding. It's in the nighttime that the light of dawn is most pleasurable. It's in the, and then it gives a few different things. He said, but the idea that he's expressing is that because of that, and it's also in separation that union becomes even more pleasurable. So therefore, the Lord puts his devotee into suffering so that when he's relieved of that suffering, his feelings of gratitude are even more intense. I believe I was reading that from that 10th canto verse when after Krishna disappeared from the gopis in the Ras dance, and then he came back and the gopis were talking with him and criticizing him, lightly criticizing him. And he said, the reason that I don't reciprocate with my devotees right away when they propitiate me is because I want to increase their hankering. That's another thing. I think that's another another mellow that we can add to that. Why, you know, because I'm sure that we've experienced that in our intense, in the intensity of suffering, it's easier to take shelter of Krishna than when everything's just going peachy keen, as they say. You know, in the, when it's really difficult, then it's easy to take, and that was Queen Kunti's mood, you know, praying therefore for more and more suffering. Not for suffering's sake, but for the sake of remembering Krishna. That's just one thing. Jitari Prabhu?
Hi, Krishna. Thank you. I had two things. I was going to ask you, now, wasn't there another instance where there was, that was another person that imprisoned the 16,108?
That's different.
So
that's Banasura.
Banasura,
right?
Wow.
Or Bulmasura.
Boy, kings really.
Narakasura. Wow. Narakasura. He imprisoned those.
So that was, there was two
different
instances where all these kings really got. And one other thing is, so you were saying about the devotees, or the kings were saying, well, it's, we brought this on ourselves. Okay. So, you know, in our philosophy, you know, devotees, you know, I've always heard, like, devotees kind of, like, just accept whatever, you know, turmoil is coming. But then if you see another devotee being harmed or persecuted, you jump in and help them some way. But in terms of our own take on things, if we see that something's happening to us that is, you know, we don't like react to, why are you doing this to me, Krishna, but yeah, okay, it's coming to me, but should we then just like accept it, or can we kind of like try and mitigate it, or
well,
react? In other words, like if somebody's attacking us, it's not like we get all upset about it, but still we have to kind of like,
well, okay,
protect ourselves.
Uh-huh. Right. It's not that we become, yeah, it's not that by hearing this philosophy we become catatonic and just sit in the corner and think, you know, if the sun shines on me, it's okay, and if it rains on me, it's okay. I'm just going to sit here because everything's happening. Because just think of Arjuna's position in Bhagavad Gita, right? He's trying to not do anything because it's a little difficult that, you know, killing his grandfather and this and that's difficult. Therefore, I don't want to fight. I'm going to go off to the forest. That's the whole scenario of the scene, setting the scene of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, no, you're not. You have to do your duty. But he doesn't just say that. He says, do your duty and what? Think of me. So it screws our head back on, to say, you know, it puts it in perspective. Do your duty, do what's necessary, like, especially in a case like, it would be very difficult and very unusual if someone was attacking you that you didn't do anything. It's such a normal self-preservation. But, you know, okay, other scenes still, we're thinking.
But
you know, sometimes there's verbal attacks.
But you remain detached in that.
That's,
you know,
the key. That's Bhagavad Gita key. That's the key. Be detached. You know, do what you can do, but be detached. Just, you know. Maharaj, do you have any, would you like to add something to that? No? Okay. Mathura had his hand up. Mathura Nijanmasani, this is Mathura here. You had a question, right? Or comment?
Yeah. One of my things I think about quite often is that, in this regard, is the verses that from the first canto, I believe it's the Divine Service, chapters 2, and, you know, where Krishna says, you know, how he cleanses the heart of his devotees who are endeavoring to serve him,
mm-hmm.
endeavor, you know, hearing and chanting and serving his devotees. I cleanse, I'm forgetting right now, but
uh-huh.
I, from within the heart, I guess Bhagavad Gita is talking, within the heart, I cleanse,
uh-huh.
and
yeah.
sun's illuminating. What's that verse? Anyway, so many verses like that are talking about purification,
yes,
removing these things, right?
Yes.
The abadrani, inauspicious things,
yes.
And then we hear so many quotes about the holy name, Yilshin Namamita. Of course, it's things that are almost hard to understand how powerful the holy name is, about removing our different karmas or samskaras. But it seems like to me, these impressions, I think they call it, what do they call, samskaras?
Impressions, samskaras, yes.
Because I can remember what I was doing before I joined the movement, and some things that were not so good, and still there. And it's almost like Krishna is now bringing them up more. Now after what, almost 40 years, now it's like, I'm like, oh God. But anyway, I mean, I just wonder, like, as far, what should my perspective be?
We should go on. Just go on. We're thinking the samskaras run very deep, but if we take wholeheartedly and even cry out even more sincerely to the Lord, I, on my own power, can't control my mind and my heart, but only you can do that. Please, please help me take shelter of you. And I've been listening to a few classes by Vaisheshika Prabhu. He always has these little sutras. Keep at it. Just keep at it. Don't give up. Just keep at it, and a relief will come gradually. And it's already come. It's already come. Sometimes we, as the cloud of our sinful life gradually lifts, because it's gradual, we don't always appreciate it. But like the airplane, you sit on the airplane and you're fiddling with your seatbelt and you're adjusting this and that. The plane's taking off, and then sooner or later you're like way up, and you can't even see the people or the houses. You barely see the trees. So it's happening. We've made progress, and there's much more to be had. We just keep at it. So just one more comment. Pushkar, you had a comment, and I have to go. I'm sure you do too.
Just gonna think of this one shloka that I like. I can't remember the whole thing. It went, Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, and Vasudev was there protecting. So the point brought there, I think, by Shukadev, but it doesn't really say, it's a shloka there. Yata buddhi balodayam. Yata naparadi. It says there's no aparad, no offense, as one tries to protect the body. As long as one... Buddhi, one has mental strength, mental and physical strength, he should try to protect himself. That's given as a very nice, super excellent shloka for that whole incident of Vasudev protecting Devaki. He didn't just say, okay, away, here is a dotted line, cut. No,
yeah.
He taxed his mind and trying to like pacify Kamsa in so many ways, like, let me tell this guy anything. He's a maniac.
Yeah.
And so that verse is there. It encapsulates the entire mood, Bob.
Thanks. Thanks. And that's because the body is the instrument. The body is the instrument that we have now to utilize in service of the Lord. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.